Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So I'm really excited to dive into my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025. And it's been almost a year since I've did the coverage, and I've been doing a lot of different travel, but also like developing aspects of this experiential design framework that could be applied to these different experiences. And so part of the amazing thing that happens at Venice Immersive is these experiences of storytelling and immersive art are really pushing forward what's possible with the medium. And there's this deeper philosophical work to bear witness to these stories, to capture an oral history about the process by which they're made, but also to see what kind of stories are being told, but also the affordances of the medium through all these qualities of presence and then all the different contextual domains that are being explored, all the different aspects of character and the archetypal themes that are being explored, as well as how all that's coming together in the context of a story and an overall experience. And so in this coverage, I'll be breaking down for each of the different experiences at the beginning. I'll be talking about the contextual domains that are explored, the elemental balances of what's the center of gravity, as well as the archetypal themes, as well as the story overall, and some highlights to be able to pay attention to. And so I'm going to be kicking off with this conversation that I had with the team of 30 Ninjas, which is Doug Liman. Doug Liman is a super big, famous Hollywood director, everything from Bourne Identity to Edge of Tomorrow to Swingers. And so he's a big blockbuster filmmaker, and he's asked to create a short film because Google wanted to have their Gemini be integrated into these immersive experiences. So the Samsung Galaxy XR headset that launched last year, this was one of the launch titles that was coming out with that. And it was creating both a cinematic experience, but also an onboarding and offboarding with a story extension using artificial intelligence and conversational interfaces for you to be onboarded into this experience. So Doug Liman himself is a Hollywood director. And so he had this big script of a film called Asteroid that he wanted to make. And so when Google came to him, he wanted to take a bite of that and create a portion of the story and introduce us both to the world, but also to some of the characters and some key turning points that are going to potentially be explored within this larger feature-length film version of it, but allowed him to paint a picture of going onto these asteroids and having all these anti-heroes go in there and grab all these natural resources. And then because they're all anti-heroes and they're all greedy, terrible people, they start fighting each other and killing each other. And it's just, it ends up being a bit of a mystery. So there's a bit of like a flashback moments of you see one of the characters at the end and you are learning more about what may or may not have happened. So there's that dimension of the piece. So there's a bit of a mystery as to what exactly happened, but there's this onboarding and then offboarding that happens in the piece. And so on the onboarding, you get a conversation with DK Metcalf, who's a football player who's playing himself in the piece. So you talk to DK Metcalf as DK Metcalf, the football player who's participating in this project, and you have this conversational interface with him that's kind of breaking the fourth wall of sorts. You just have this casual conversation with the virtual being of DK Metcalf. Then you go into the experience, you see the cinematic 180 VR that has everything that's in space is like CGI, but there's also this kind of more live action 180 video that's integrated into that. It's like a 12-minute piece. And then after that, you are going out of it, and DK Metcalf's been left for dead, and he needs your help. And you basically have to have this conversation with him to guide him into where to go and what to do. So it's a little bit of a handholding of going into these different story beats, but you also have this open-ended conversation to ask a little bit more questions about what may have happened in the narrative. But he's also left for dead and he needs your help to be able to escape. And so you have this kind of more game-like component that's helping him get out. And that's, again, all done through the Google Gemini, through this interface of Convey that's helping to kind of bound the large language model. So that's the experience in a nutshell. And so the contextual domains is that it's a long distance travel where someone is left behind and de facto exiled. And there's a rescue mission where you kind of embody as a character to help out the protagonist in the second half. But also if there's a mystery to try to figure out what happened and to investigate it. And so the primary center of gravity is the water element in terms of the emotional presence. It's mostly a cinematic story where you're watching the story unfold, where most of your agency has no impact of how the story unfolds because it's basically a 180 video that you're watching. But you get the sense of going back and forth of time, of like you're jumping in time in the moment, but you're also looking into the past as to what happened with these kind of flashbacks. And so it's a cinematic virtual reality thriller that begins as a film, but then continues as more of an immersive story game there at the end, and also a combination of the live action 180 video with the CGI driven animations every time it's in space. So then the second center of gravity is the earth element in terms of the embodied environmental presence. It's basically this world building sci-fi fantasy of like, what would it be like to have space travel to these asteroids? And they're at that point. the third center of gravity, I'd say, is the kind of mental and social presence. And they're really leaning onto this conversational interfaces with the AI. And so it is a conversational driven AI story extension where you're talking to DK Metcalf at the beginning, at the end, and kind of puzzling together what may have happened, but also having a general open-ended conversation to learn more about the character, to learn more about the world. And then finally, the last center of gravity of the quality of presence is the fire element. There are some elements of the interactivity and agency that happen in this story extension, but in the main course of the piece, there's obviously no interactivity or agency because you're not actually engaging with how the story is unfolding. And so it's more of this continuation as an immersive story game and a story extension using this AI and generative AI and to allow you to interface with the world and have more of a conversational interface with these characters. So some of the different archetypal themes that are being explored within this piece. So everyone's like a bit of this anti-hero archetype. So this tension between power and greed, the limitations and constraints and the boundaries and death. And Doug Lamine says that there aren't really many anti-heroes within space movies, and Han Solo is a bit of an exception. And so what if all the different characters were Han Solo characters? And also he said that last time he made a short film was back in film school, and that this piece of Asteroid he's especially proud of because he says it's kind of built on the shoulders of a lot of failed short films within film school. And so it's a chance for him to go back to what the essence of storytelling may be with all these new immersive forms. They also had a whole piece called Invisible, which was basically a 6-part half-hour piece that was done back in 2016. And they got verified that it was the first TV scripted virtual reality piece. It's available on YouTube. You can go watch it. And basically it's a story of these characters who are invisible and this family dynamic, and they're trying to figure out the inheritance of that and all this kind of drama that's happening and multiple people who are invisible. And so you can go watch those 6-part series to get a sense of their very early beginnings and stages within virtual reality. But also 30 Ninjas has done a number of other VR experiences as well. So they're kind of at the frontiers of the new forms of immersive and interactive storytelling. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with the co-founders of 30 Ninjas, including Doug Lyman, Jelena Tatlock, and Jed Weintraub, as well as the product lead of Android XR at Google, Max Spear, happened on Saturday, August 30th, 2025, at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Doug Lyman, film director. I'm here at the Venice Film Festival with my VR film Asteroid.
Hi, I'm Max Spear. I'm a product lead at Google on Android XR.
Jelena Tatlock, partner at 30 Ninjas, co-founded by Doug Lyman and Jed Weintraub, and the creative lead for the app overall.
And Jed Weintraub, partner with Jelena and Doug at 30 Ninjas.
Great. And whenever I look at different XR projects, I always like to hear what kind of design disciplines people are coming in with. And so I'd love if each person could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into working with immersive media.
I mean, my background is motion picture and, you know, like big movie screens. In fact, I really design my movies when I shoot movies. You know, Born Identity is best seen on like a big movie screen. Edge of Tomorrow is best seen on a big movie screen. And part of that's immersing the audience in the experience. You know, IMAX screen, whatever, the bigger the better. Roadhouse, we shot with IMAX cameras. So it's like really wanted people to see it in the theater. So and the opportunity with Android XR, they approached our company 30 Ninjas about creating the first film for their new headset, really jumped right at it because it's not our first time doing something in VR. We were actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for creating the first VR TV series in 2016, Invisible. So I've always been interested in sort of where technology and entertainment can intersect, and as a storyteller, how I can use technology to, you know, tell a story differently than someone could have told 10 years ago. Because I do think storytelling kind of lives in two things. I mean, even if you're doing a period movie, it's the story may be set in that period, but it also reflects the moment in which you're making the movie. And so I've always just really wanted to make films that are very much of the moment and reflect either creatively because of like what's happening in the world. You know, Born Identity would probably be a different movie made today in terms of what's happening in America than when I made it, but also in terms of what you could do with technology. And going all the way back to, we're at Venice where I premiered Swingers, and I shot that on film, but even then I was using new film stocks that allowed me to do things that filmmakers before me were not able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the space, VR, AR, XR space for many years now, mostly on building the platform side. And so what we've gotten excited about is how do you bring together a platform, the devices on top of that, that can allow people to create new content experiences. And immersive entertainment has always been one of those premier experiences for the form factor. And what we get excited about is what can you start to do differently on these devices that you haven't been able to do before? I think some of the core principles we've always thought of is taking the perspective of being somewhere that you can't physically go to, or being stepping into someone's shoes that you might not have been able to before. And so when we get excited about this project is it's actually bringing together two things. One is like all of the power of XR in that case. So that ability to viscerally feel like you're on an asteroid and in the space capsule and heading up, also feeling like you're the perspective of multiple different people in the film is something you can't really do as viscerally in other mediums. But also now with the advent of AI, it's kind of the almost perfect set of devices to have these kind of interactions where it also feels like you're interacting with someone in a new way. And so as you kind of see throughout the experience, we have these moments where you're actually feeling like you're conversing with one of the characters, DK Metcalf. And for that, it's like now and this tipping point, as Doug was mentioning, of bringing kind of new technologies into the forefront of this. One is around that conversational AI piece. And so we've always dreamed of, you know, what if you could be even more in the film, even more in the experience, or even interacting with characters. And so we get really excited about just providing those opportunities at the platform level and letting the creatives and the filmmakers see what they can do with them.
So yeah, just a bit more context as your background and your journey into the space.
Thank you for reminding me of what the question was. So I've been essentially a creative technologist for most of my career, from television and doing interactive narratives for both the web and for television. And then when we started 30 Ninjas, developing stories using new technology in new and different ways in order to expand and explore storytelling with Doug. And so sometimes that has taken the form of linear films like Asteroid or Invisible or some other pieces as well, but always with story extensions. I think what's so exciting right now of what we've done with Asteroid is, as Max mentioned, the ability to, with Android XR and with the AI in Gemini that's built into the system itself, and the natural language interaction for user interaction and the natural hand gesture interactions means that it's a more intuitive way for the user and the audience member to engage and enter the story itself. So it's been an amazing, magical time where the film is working so well, and it really, it's just one of Doug's most wonderful immersive works. And the audience loves that and enters the story that way. They relax, they enter the story, and then afterwards, they can interact with it in a human communication way without typing, without too many different things to learn. They can extend the story and speak to DK Metcalf, one of the characters, and rescue him. So as a creative technologist, it really is bringing together big leaps, I think, in both the technology and in the creative and how we're trying to meet it.
So I come to XR as a producer and as an executive and entrepreneur from going back to doing interactive stories on CD-ROM, you know, ages ago, and then working, having a 3D television studio in the early days of 3D TV. And I feel like we came back really to the XR space with the Android XR team because really so many of the limitations that we'd found working in immersive and interactive storytelling, not very high resolution screens, slow speeds, the extreme limitations of interactive storytelling with traditional branching pre-recorded narrative, all of a sudden all sort of came together where we started looking at these new high resolution headset displays and being like, wow, that's actually really, that no screen door, like that starts to feel real. We've always been sort of obsessed with the idea of taking existing stories and IP or original stories and IP and allowing viewers and audiences to extend their story experience, you know, whether it's been through on Twitter with television series of Doug's or through branching storylines or through even an interactive audio adventure. But like once we really started playing around with Gemini and with Convey, which is our AI technology sort of front end, we really found we were able to not only clone one of the characters' voices perfectly, right, but really to be able to sort of build a narrative path for that character where the audience like has some rails around them, but obviously he says something totally new every time, and that, you know, in and of itself is sort of magical. And combining that with like being able to create an immersive movie done largely in visual effects, because we've always all, you know, been of the belief that like while there are really cool shooting technologies, like the kind of storytelling that Doug wanted to do with this project, which is really putting people inside a tiny Soyuz spacecraft, like that spacecraft they're in is supposed to fit like three people at most, right? And there are five of them jammed in it together, that to be able to do that and bring people as close and sort of make them feel both the vastness of the asteroid and the sort of like claustrophobia of that capsule really required us doing a lot of it in motion capture. And we were also able to work with the Google team on actually scanning all of the actors with their next generation scanning technology and then shoot it all in performance capture. Plus we did some live action as well. So that's sort of where I come to it from. But I really do think we're at this like very exciting moment of a lot of the, you know, between high bandwidth, high resolution, fast headsets and AI baked in, like at sort of like a lot of the blockers and doing these kinds of stories or trying to do these kinds of stories in the past are sort of getting taken away. So now we really get to experiment.
Nice. And so it sounds like that Google with Android XR had come to 30 Ninjas and asked to do some sort of project. I'm just curious to hear like where it began, what was the remit, what was Google really looking for, and where did you begin in order to sort of build out this world and tell this story?
I mean, I'm going to throw to Doug a little bit, but we always start with story and have parallel conversations probably with business and opportunity, but really technology opportunity. So, you know, Doug, you should talk about, you know.
Well, Asteroid's a feature film that I, you know, it's on my list of things I'm super passionate about making one day. And here's an opportunity to sort of test it out and try some of the ideas, because it's also would be, you know, my most ambitious movie. And when Jed and Julina approached me and they'd been talking to Google about that, they were, you know, because I didn't know yet, that they said, oh, they're going to be creating a headset that is, you know, high resolution and stereo and everything you'd want as a filmmaker, you know, in terms of the experience you could give an audience. And said, you know, we should start talking to Google about what kind of story we could, you know, did I want to tell with the headset. And, you know, I think I pretty quickly settled on Asteroid. I mean, some of it came from some of the technical conversations and about and looking at what other people had done, say for the Apple headset, and what was working and what wasn't working. And we at 30 Ninjas, you know, we were in the Guinness Book of World Records for the first VR series. We've been working in VR for a long time now. And so between our experiences, the experiences other people have, what can the technology do? And it was, you know, the sort of creative and the technical have to sort of go hand in hand. And this one just, it made such sense that this, of the projects I sort of have been, you know, circulating in my brain, that Asteroid was really the perfect, it seemed like it was going to be the perfect piece of material to create film for the Android XR. And now that it's done and I look at it, and I'm so proud of Asteroid. It's by far, not as my most ambitious thing I've ever done. I really could have landed flat on my face here. I mean, I had Jed and Jelena backing me up and like, but it was, you know, I haven't been this far out on a limb since Swingers in terms of like, you know, doing stuff that no one had ever done before. You know, as Jed pointed out, you know, the story's five people crammed into a Soyuz capsule designed for three, and that is not traditionally stuff that has worked filmed in 180-degree stereo environment at all. And then also, obviously, I'm a world builder. If you look at, like, Edge of Tomorrow, I love creating worlds, and I wanted to create the other end of the spectrum, the vast scale of this asteroid that they land on and transport the audience there. So you can see creatively why I was excited to jump into the headset, but also, you know, when I embarked on the journey, it was like, you know, it was similar to back in Swingers, but even Edge of Tomorrow, where I was like, okay, I hope I can figure out how to make this movie.
Yeah, and it seems like a big part of the story also is integrating the Gemini large language model? How do you engage with the character, like outside of the context of the story, of just the actors, the person, DJ, and then afterwards in the context of the film to kind of have like more of a interactive mystery helping to solve, but also asking questions. And so there's this conversational element that I know there's been services like inworld.ai, which has done a great job of trying to bound large language models, which can be, you know, very prone to hallucination. So everything that I asked was able to both discern what I said, but also be on point in terms of the story. And so just curious to hear a little bit around the narrative design process of like creating a open-ended conversational approach to have something that people would most likely be able to ask and then have answers prepared, but also kind of narratively at the end create this almost like not quite choose your own adventure, because it seemed like it was a linear path in terms of the story where it was evolving, but it was open-ended enough where you could ask more questions around this narrative as a bit of a mystery of trying to understand more aspects of the story that maybe weren't all revealed in the context of the immersive film. So just curious to hear a little bit around the strategy for how to kind of map out this narrative experience that you wanted to have using AI as a key part of how to explore.
I mean, on the technology side, we did a previous AI character project for a metagame we did called DinoHab, where we worked with InWorld. And on this project, we really wanted the experience to be powered by Gemini for obvious reasons, and because we really felt it was a really powerful LLM when it comes to live speech. So we're working with a company called Convey for the front end to Gemini that creates the narrative design tools. And Julina is really our lead AI narrative experience creator. So let's throw to her.
Yeah, I mean, partnering with Convey was obviously critical for us, mostly because we're also a small team and we're not able to build multiple platforms in order to do what we do. And working with AI and large language models is a deep and, you know, it takes a lot of skill in order to do things well. So, and using AI in the character to extend the story and immerse you in the story starts with a great story, so that you don't have to explain.
Great characters.
So that you want to talk to them and you know sort of what they're talking about. You know, our approach to it started with what's the great story and what's the film. Then what is our opportunity to extend that story? And that's where the idea that one of the characters survives, actually, who's left for dead, and that you are then interacting with that character who's on the asteroid and you are trying to save them. So it is very natural for people to speak back and forth, obviously, in the natural language conversation. But it also takes some thought, as I just did with a pause in my head. You know, it's actually quite a big thinking user interface in a way, because if you're just doing click, it's easier to do in a mindless way. So understanding the story and building those rules is really important for people to know and feel comfortable in the conversation rather than question what they might say. We decided to frame the beginning AI conversation with DK and then the film and then the story extension in order to open the film in a casual way. DK Metcalf being a real person, it's critical that they could answer questions to DK more as himself.
That DK Metcalf, who's a giant American football player, physically and stature or whatever, in terms of the football greats, plays himself in the movie. He has no business going into outer space. He has no training. It's something he signed on to last minute, with his manager, sort of thought it would be a good idea.
Right, and so he then goes into the film, and then when he's stuck on the asteroid. So you can talk to him for a little bit in the beginning, so you get a little bit used to speaking to an AI character without spoiling the film, and then you sit back and enjoy the film. The film ends, and, in the real thing, there'll be a short credit, the option to see credits, and then you find out that DK has survived, and you can interact with him. The amount of writing that it takes to structure the story world so that it fits within the world of the world building that Doug has been talking about is enormous. And then working closely with Convey, tweaking the prompts, and then the way that they are able to integrate with Android XR and Gemini has been really important, because we have the support and the basically elegant technology for us to directly and naturally also integrate into the device. And without the good hardware, right, that's built in, that Google has partnered with Samsung, you don't have the same connection essentially to the hardware that's built specifically to interact with a large language model. It's important to note that we're not going directly to Gemini. We are creating a story world and a prompt that creates an AI character partnering with Convey. And then it's not the Gemini assistant helper that you're talking to. It is the film character, DK Metcalf, that you're talking to. But there's an enormous team behind that on our side who's helping us do that and writing that.
Yeah, it seemed to react to everything that I was asking, and I could tell it was very much shaped and bounded in a way that was very responsive. So, but
he will.
Not pre-written. There's nothing that like when we've done in-world experiences, we've had pre-written things the character says. This is all live.
It is all live, and also, so you can ask it things that aren't in the knowledge bank. For instance, favorite pies, pie recipes, favorite, like, there's a bunch of stuff we have worked, and we've spent a lot of time working with DK to shape it so that it fits within the bounds, because he's a public persona and he's a person, but it's also within the world of our character and world. So there's a merging of fiction and reality. But as Jed said, it's not totally bound by the knowledge bank, but there's rules of conduct and there's rules of the world that it will stick to. And then, of course, moderation, you know, safety moderation filters and things like that that are essential to be responsible with AI as well.
Awesome. Yeah. And Doug, I did want to ask around the kind of world building process for you with Asteroid. One of the trends I've been seeing, interestingly enough, in the XR field is that folks like Eloy Singer and Singer Studios using VR to create something like The Pirate Queen that then goes off and has a TV series that's being developed, also podcasts, and feels like that XR could be a place to prototype and build out these worlds and, you know, have other aspirations for film or TV or podcasts or kind of building out franchises. So it sounds like that Asteroids is a project you've had in the vault for a while, things that you've been wanting to make.
It started as a feature script and then was like, well, let's try to tell a part of that story, you know, in 12 minutes. And then in sort of figuring out what part of the script to tell, it started evolving. And not to give it away, but like Haley Steinfeld, who stars in it, finishes Asteroid, the Android XR experience, very differently than she did in the script, in the feature script. So now I'm actually faced with, you know, okay, maybe the, now, you know, I have to go back and rewrite the feature script because of everything that I learned about this world and the characters, making a short. I mean, I haven't made a short film since film school. It's really hard to do. I mean, part of the thing why I'm so proud of Asteroid is that, like, it's standing on top of some very failed short films that I made in film school. And it finally making, you know, what I consider a great short film. You know, it's never too late, right?
Yeah, shorts used to be the way that, you know, would be a calling card for filmmakers to get in the industry. But after being established as a film director, it's interesting to me to see how XR is kind of filling this space of allowing you to prototype or experiment. So just curious to hear a little bit more around the world of Asteroid and what you really wanted to explore as a context to then create a situation for the characters to kind of explore different, you know, unique contexts of that space.
You know, I've had this obsession for a while. And the way that, like, Born Identity comes from, you know, I had an idea about how I thought a spy story should be told that was different than James Bond and Mission Impossible. And I was spent a while thinking about that before I made Born Identity. And it was not what other people, I mean, when I, you know, before Born Identity came out, like, Universal hated it because they were like, it didn't look like what a spy movie should look like. And the writer I hired to work with me on it was so horrified, he lobbied to not get sole credit. And, you know, and then obviously it comes out and people are like, oh, there is a different kind of spy movie, and that was Born. And I've had, in the same way, I've been thinking about space, and I've sort of been obsessed with the idea of doing a very different kind of science fiction film set in space. It's not Star Wars, it's not Star Trek, it's not Battlestar Galactica, it's not Dune. You know, it is my Born Identity version of doing a space film. And in particular, it's about people going into space who are anti-heroes, who have no business going into space, who are going there for money. You know, I've always loved the idea of somebody looking up at the moon and you think it's going to be a romantic moment. And they're like, when I look at the moon, I see money. And, you know, and if you look at my movies, my characters tend to be anti-heroes. I mean, just talking about Born Identity, Jason Bourne, you know, kills people for a living. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they both kill people for a living. Tom Cruise plays a coward in Edge of Tomorrow, who's only saving the world because there's nowhere to run to.
He's stuck.
I mean, literally, he tries to, if he could run away and get to some island and let everyone else die, he would have chosen that. That was not an option. And so those are my kinds of characters. And you don't normally see those characters in outer space. Like, you might see, like, Han Solo in Star Wars, but, like, he's, like, the exception. I'm like, okay, I want to do a whole movie with Han Solos in space. And so that really is the world building. When I talk about world building, yeah, it's, like, I think the environment of the asteroid is extremely, it's just such a fun place to be, and especially in a headset in the Android XR, and it's so fun that then Jelena extended it into an experience after the movie ends, where you go back onto the asteroid and just, it's just, so there's the world building of like taking the audience to a place they don't get to go. And in a headset is obviously so much more immersive than a movie could ever hope to do. But I'm also really, when I talk about taking, you know, building a world, I'm talking about, you know, it's the characters.
Right. And a final question I always like to ask all my interviewees is, what do you think the ultimate potential of XR and immersive storytelling might be, and with AI in there as well, and what that might be able to enable as we enter into this new phase of the future of storytelling?
I'm just really happy to have a seat at the table. Like, I mean, we're learning as we sit here at the Venice Film Festival. You know, like, even as you've been conducting this interview, as soon as we finish, I've got like a dozen notes to give Jelena about... about DK's character and the AI story extension. And so, you know, I genuinely believe in learning by doing. And so we're doing. And we're, this thing is, the headset doesn't even work right now. I mean, you're not even getting the proper audio. I mean, we are really on the cutting edge. Our sound mixer didn't even know how to mix for this thing because it's so cutting edge. But creatively, like, I think it's incredible what Jelena's created for the extension to Asteroid. And this is a process. That's what I'm saying. I have, like, we're here at the Venice Film Festival, but, like, it's what the audience eventually, you know, what the consumer eventually gets is going to be different based on what we're learning here at the thing. And then it's going to be different probably a month after release. We're going to learn more, and we're going to keep iterating and iterating and iterating. So... yeah, so I'm giving you the answer. Like, I don't know where it's going, but I know we're going to be at the tip of the spear at 30 Ninjas, and I'm excited to be there. But
yeah, us too. I mean, as a lot of Google likes to say, plus one on what Doug just said. But, you know, integrated AI into the operating system is ultimately a disruptive technology in all of the positive ways, I think, that it is. And Doug is a disruptive in all the positive ways creator, because he's with all of the ideas, you disrupt what is the status quo essentially to make new and exciting stories and entertainment. So where do I think it will go? I think it will be both, we will just get better and more skillful behind the scenes to make it more natural and make it more exciting and more immersive and for the user, but also possibly faster. I mean, there may be rules there may be too many rules, actually, and it should be more expansive. There is an element of, can we do that visually as well as with the speech and the story and the character? We're particularly focused on the character because it's our, as storytellers, that's where our storytelling starts, essentially. But I can see generative, personalized entertainment that really gets much more ambitious. Personally, also would love to see it where it's multiplayer to some extent. The headset's a personal device, right? So the mic and the headset are meant for just a single person through the mic, essentially. So doing it in a group scenario where the mic can pick up other people in the room. So the idea, though, that you could, in your personal device, then interact and play with people socially, I know would be really exciting as well. We can't do that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at the future of, from 30 Ninjas looks at the future of XR, we look to expanding the use of AI video powered by humans. Like, it's always with actors and writers and storytellers. We think it's a superpower. And then we're also looking to a future of XR glasses, of very lightweight, stereoscopic glasses that allow us both to have, you know, an immersive experience and see and interact with the people around us. So I think some of the things that people feel are, is a little bit lost from being in a movie theater together or a theater together and interacting together, plus these new technologies makes it a real, that's where we really sort of get focused on the future of storytelling.
Awesome.
Yeah, bring the story with you in the glasses. That's a good idea, Jed.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all that you did with the Asteroid. Really enjoyed the piece and enjoyed hearing more about the process of creating it. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage. And hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.